After engaging in much soul searching over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, I have figured out, finally, thank you God, why the high priests of Israel had precious gems and not vegetables on their breastplate. Yes, wow, it came to me in a flash of translucent light. I suggested, well, I wondered, I guess I should say, on Friday, why the breastplate of the high priest didn't have 12 vegetables, such as carrot, radish, squash, broccoli, cauliflower, onion, because those things are perishable. Of course, they're perishable. And the great thing about the new earth is its permanence. This is why the new earth has no sea, because the sea suggests impermanence, because the sea wears away, erodes the land, and the waves come up and they just start tearing away at the earth, and there is erosion. Look at what the Colorado River does to the Grand Canyon. And this is tragic. And you have floods on the earth. The big flood back in the days of Noah, that was pretty bad. But even today in cities like Johnstown, well, it wasn't today, that was 1889. But you see the pictures today of cars floating down flooded streets, and this is horrible. And it suggests the impermanence of things. This is why the new earth is going to be solid. It's going to be one solid rock. Yeah, there might be some rivers, some streams. Of course, there's going to be a river of life. There might be some freshwater bodies from which you could fish. I don't know. I'm not saying with 100% certainty that you will be able to fish from the river of life. Don't try it. Don't try it without a permit. But I love this idea of permanence. I really do. As you know, I grew up so secure. My parents were wonderful people, and I lived in the same house for 18 years, and I raised my family in the same house for 25 years. Love the permanence. Hate impermanence. Hate that things change. Change makes me crazy. So I love this new earth is going to be hard, and it's not going to waver. It's not going to wave. It's not going to crash. It's not going to sustain large ships, because there's going to be no sea on it. Thus, the breastplates of the high priest had stones, precious gems. And this is what, of course, God is telling us with these gems like jasper, which I love jasper. I just am thrilled about it. It's solid. It's like not going anywhere. Jasper's not going anywhere. You don't mess with jasper. What's the hardest substance on the earth? Diamond. Yes, what do they cut through tunnels with? Diamond. Diamond is hard. So that's the key to this whole thing. It's a hardness. You know how you're vexed by change? You're vexed by the tumultuousness of your life and your circumstances, your personal circumstances, and the tumultuousness of life on the broader scheme and scope with the news, and things change all the time. The stock market, God help you if you have stocks up and down and up and down. No, not on the new earth. Had the priests of Israel, the Levitical priesthood, had the high priest, this is the high priest, he's the only guy who had the breastplate, I think. Had he had a breastplate consisting of vegetables, they would have perished. As soon as you pick a vegetable, it dies. That's right. It may seem fresh. We have any fresh vegetables? No, it's only which vegetable has died for the least amount of time. That's what you're wanting. That's what you're wanting. So no, we have permanence. So that covers that. And even the 1,000 years is not permanent. It passes. You may say the new earth passes. No, don't say that, because we have no evidence that the new earth passes away. I've always assumed that. But it could be that the new earth continues even past the Aeonian times. I kind of like that idea. And for those who like the earth, for those who love the earth, and they like the bugs, they like the trees, you might have a place of refuge. Of course, I'm always asked if we, the members of the body of Christ, of the celestial realm, if we will be able to come visit the earth. And I've told you over and over again, yes, of course we are going to be able to visit the earth. We can go anywhere in the universe, probably at the speed of thought. We will not be what are you? Somebody sneaking through my office. Juliana, you want to say hi to my audience here? This is Juliana. I'm supposed to have this. This is the owner. This is the goddess of the home. I'm supposed to be have my door open here by 8, but I'm running late. So here she comes. Here she comes, barreling through here. But that's fine. I love the spontaneity of it. So you see, this kind of thing won't happen on the new earth because of the reliable consistency of it. But anyway, that's nice. You got to meet Juliana there. So that covers, I think, that covers the breastplates of the high priest. That covers what I meditated on over the weekend, but not really, because I meditated on something else. I meditated on translucence because I finally get it, having meditated upon it. That, see, I was tricked into thinking that these gems, that this translucent gold is going to exist for its own sake. For instance, I mentioned the Hope Diamond on Friday. What do you do to the Hope Diamond? You sit there and stare at it. Oh, it's the Hope Diamond. That's not going to be the case on the new earth because of the translucence. And the same with gold. You see, the pirates, when they get a treasure chest of gold, what do? They thrust their hands into the chest and they bring up the gold. It's gold, I love the gold. And it trickles through their hands and they just stare at it. They love the feel of it, the smell of it. When people get money, they just put the money up to their face. They smell it and everybody loves to see a briefcase opened up full of green money. That's ridiculous. You see, because, look, I'll give you something about me. I'll tell you what. I don't love money, but I'll admit that I love the things money can get me, like a veggie bowl at Chipotle. I love the feeling I get when I see those black beans being poured on my bed of brown rice. And then when they put the mild salsa on there, they dribble it on, I can already start to taste the veggie bowl. But then when the guacamole comes on, that's just... And at the end of the line, I can get that green sauce. It's not the red sauce, the spicy sauce. What's that? I forget what it's called. I put some of that on. So money buys me this experience. What am I getting at? Listen, follow me, please. You're not looking at the gold. The gold is a conduit, and the jasper is a conduit, and the emerald rainbow that we read of at the throne of God, referenced, I think, in the unveiling chapter 3. These things are not to be stared at. They're not to be regaled and admired as static creations. They are means of transmitting to us the glory of God. God's glory works through these substances, you see. And these things become agents of transmitting the glory of God. And so they're channels. They're channels. That's all they are. And so now I'm excited about these gems because they're just being used by God. They're not being... The reason I didn't like them at first, because I thought, okay, they're just static things. You stare at them, you collect them, you put them on a ring. A woman shows her ring. Oh, look at the rock I got here, and just got this giant ring, and people stare at it, and they go, ooh, look at that ring. And I talked about Burl Ives with his silver and gold, and you see, and then Rudolph, the little ornaments, and they're sparkling, and the squirrels hold them and spin them in their little paws. But no. These are merely conduits of glory now on the new earth. Yes, and I totally get it now. That so suits me because I'm not a guy to like look at, I'm not a guy who likes stuff for the sake of stuff. It has to do something for me. For instance, I'll give you a great example. My the people think that because I rode a bicycle across the United States twice that I must love bicycles. And people ask me questions all the time about bicycles. Well, can you fix my bicycle? And I say, I don't know how to fix your bicycle. And they say, why don't you know how to fix my bicycle? I said, because I don't know anything about bicycles. What? You rode a bicycle across the United States. Yes, and I did so knowing nothing about bicycles because I don't care about bicycles. A bicycle for me became an instrument through which and upon which to have an experience. I invest in experiences, and money for me buys experiences. A veggie bowl at Chipotle is an experience. And bicycling across the country was a life-changing experience. And I needed a bicycle to do that. So, oh my God, I got to buy a bicycle. What do I have? What kind of bicycle do I need? You know, okay, how many gears do I need? You know, I have no interest in the darn thing, right? Same with a computer. I hate computers. I hate technology. But I love what it can do for me. I'm broadcasting to you today because of a Logitech camera and because of an Apple MacBook Pro, whatever it is. And people are asking me, Martin, is that your MacBook? Yes, it is. It was a gift from a believer who wanted me to have the best, most reliable tool to get the truth out to you. And when this friend got this computer for me, a lot of the clerks at the Apple store were like, whoa, that's a great computer. And I was like, what, it is? Oh. It's a tool for me. So I'm not an Apple guy. I don't care, you see. It's a means to experience something. Keep applying this to the gems. Keep applying this to the New Jerusalem. It's not a trophy. It's God coming through it, just like your life. Why are we believers? Why are we studying these things? So we can be smart, so we can win Bible trivia contests, so we can blow people's minds at Bible studies? No, it's so we can know God, and so our lives can be a conduit of God. Where nobody's going to put us in a museum. I don't want to be in a museum where people stare at me and go, there's Martin Zender, there's Martin Zender. No, Martin Zender is a conduit of the truth of God, you see. So my bicycle is in a storage unit. The bicycle I used for 2 transcontinental trips is in a storage unit right now in Ohio. It's not in a museum. Why do I? Here's another question. People taste whiskey once in a while, you know, and so they take a little shot glass, maybe. I don't have one here, but they'll take a little shot and they'll go, oh, the first time I tasted cognac, I couldn't believe people drank this crap. It tasted like I thought it tasted like nail polish remover. Not that I ever tasted nail polish remover, so let me say it this way. It tasted like how I would imagine nail polish remover to taste having smelled nail polish remover. You get it. So I hate the taste of whiskey. It's like, and I still do. It is an acquired taste, so I developed a taste for it, but I still don't like it. To me, it still tastes like nail polish remover or paint thinner. But it's the effect of it that I like. It's mellowing, you know, kind of gives you a new perspective on life once in a while. And so I don't like whiskey. Then why do you drink it once in a while, Mr. Zender? Because I like the effect of it. It's a conduit to taking the edge, should I say, taking the edge off of life. And the same with a cigar. You remember I used to smoke cigars in the bunker? Do I love cigars? No. Cigars are ridiculous. It's ridiculous to smoke a giant tube of rolled up tobacco leaves. I just like it because it makes me feel cool. It's ridiculous. It makes me feel ridiculous. It makes me feel like, I'm not too upset about the things of life because I'm smoking a cigar. I don't know. It's hard to put this into words. But again, relate this to the gems and to the flinty, hard, beautifully stable substances of the New Earth and the New Jerusalem. It's the experience of smoking a cigar. It's holding the stupid thing. And I like people to see me smoking a cigar because, oh, look, that guy's smoking a cigar. I feel great. I feel cool. I feel like a rich guy, which I'm not. I buy the cheapest cigars known to humanity. And they all taste like dog poop. And it's really great if you're smoking a cigar, then you have a little shot of whiskey at the end. So basically, I chase dog poop with nail polish remover. It's all distasteful by itself, but it's a conduit to other things, you see. And so I have ended this great great presentation to you with poor things of earth, the poor things of earth, like Chipotle veggie bowls, cheap cigars, and cheap whiskey. And rusty bicycles. A rusty bicycle that now sits in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio. And yet, why have I done this? Why have I talked about vegetables? I've talked about things that are perishable that today we stare at or we look at for their intrinsic value, the value of their own. But I'm telling you that God takes things and God uses things as a conduit to transcendent experiences, not the least of which is you, yourself, your body, your life, your personality. We're living letters, Paul says. Of course, we would all like to see Paul's literal letters. We'd like to stare at that parchment and think, this is the original letter Paul wrote to Rome. That would be great. But do you know why none of these documents don't exist? The original scriptures, do you know why they don't exist? I do. It's because of that very thing. We would stare at it and we'd put it in a museum. But the light of God shines through it. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Paul shines through these letters. So we don't need the literal letters. We need the words, and we have translations. But God wants to emphasize the spirit and the meaning and the truth behind it. Thus also with the New Jerusalem. Don't get caught up in overly admiring of the city or the gem, or the gold, because God's changing it all. The gold is no longer something you look at, it's something you see through. And the gems are translucent, the light shines through them. The rainbow is emerald, and the light comes through that, and it glorifies God. It's an expression of the glory of God. Don't stare at stuff, my friends. Don't stare at stuff, but experience stuff. Don't stare at yourself. Don't put yourself either on a pedestal or in the pit of despondency, but see your life as God sees it, which is a vehicle, a way for Him to broadcast His life, His grace, and His truth through you.